In your opinion, how can Turkey-U.S. bilateral relations be strengthened today? Mm-hmm. And in addition, how does the relationship between Turkey and United States compared to the relationship between Turkey and Canada?
Well, first of all, Turkey has been an important ally of the U.S. since the beginning of the Cold War era, when it all started in an effort to contain Soviet Union and prevent the spread of communism towards Europe by trying to keep both Turkey and Greece outside the Russian sphere of influence. This relationship has evolved over the decades, and today they are in close cooperation in the fight against ISIS. The long-standing cooperation between them is temporarily in jeopardy due to recent tensions that arose from the U.S. support for the Kurdish Peshmergas, namely the YPG militias in Syria and in Iraq, which is the military wing of PYD. Just to give a little bit of context, PKK, the terrorist organization that Turkey has been in armed conflict with for over 30 years, is the parent organization of PYD, which is the political arm of YPG. Now, if the U.S. provides YPG with military training and heavy weapons, including anti-tank and anti-aircraft missile launchers, it would mean putting all these ammunition at the disposal of PKK, which would escalate the scale scope of the terrorist attacks related to the rise of the Kurdish insurgency inside Turkey. The U.S.-Turkey relations are at a very precarious and unpredictable stage at the moment. You know, one might argue that while U.S. could negotiate with Turkey and in exchange of declining support for the Kurdish militias, U.S. might ask Turkey to step up and become the major player in the fight against ISIS. In the meanwhile, Russia could still back the militias fighting a proxy war. In that case, Turkey would be fighting two armed conflicts on two fronts, one inside and one outside. As to Canada-Turkey relations, they also have a long-standing diplomatic and trade relations. Since 1944, when Turkey opened an embassy in Ottawa, and then Canada appointed its first ambassador to Turkey 3 years after that, in 1947. Turkey and Canada's armed forces actually have enjoyed a long-standing cooperation as well. In fact, this was demonstrated when they contributed greatly to the International Security Assistance Force, the ISAF, in Afghanistan. As to the trade relations, in order to increase the current trade volume between the two countries, which I believe exceeds $2.3 billion at the moment, they have held exploratory talks from 2010 until 2013, when they finally established a joint economic and trade committee to discuss the possibility of a comprehensive bilateral free trade agreement. But ever since, they did not advance much on the issue. This interest has been reiterated by our ambassador here, the Honorable Ambassador His Excellency Sancho Gunal, and as well at the G20 summit last November, when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the cabinet in Antalya.
Bushra, in addition to your extensive academic experience in terms of publishing articles and working on focusing on the relationship between Turkey, U.S., Turkey, and Canada, you've also been actively engaged in politics. In your senior year, you were selected to participate in the Women in House program. This is a program which is mandated to increase female participation in Canadian politics. Would you be able to discuss some of the most rewarding aspects associated with being selected for this program?
So McGill's Women in House program was formed by two idealist students 15 years ago. It is a nonpartisan program which gives female students the opportunity to gain an inside look into the daily lives of women politicians in the Canadian federal government. So before, during, and after our trip, we participated in a series of very informative conferences where a special focus was put on the notion of intersectionality to explore how the combination of race, gender, religion, economic background, sexual orientation affect female political participation, that was something that I enjoyed discussing a lot. I also have got to know so many amazing people, women, most of whom became inspiring mentors to me later on. I'm still in contact with most of them, and that's one thing that I just can't emphasize enough. Mentorship, again, as you said. I was also amazed by the culture of support that surrounded us and that existed amongst female leaders, regardless of which political parties they were affiliated with. They were all open, very open and inclusive and candid in their answers to all our questions, which range from, you know, how to get male allies, counterparts to support us, to how to tackle sexism on the Hill, etc. It was also my first foot in the door, so to speak, my first non-touristic visit to the parliament. I got to shadow the Honorable Senator Una Martin. She was the deputy leader of the government in the Senate at the time. Her background is in education, and she is an amazing mentor herself. She has more than 20 years of teaching experience. On that same day, we were invited to a breakfast on the occasion of the Children's Day. Later on, I attended the Korean-Canadian Trade Committee meetings, which was, again, a life-changing opportunity, really.
Bushra, what steps do you believe should be taken next in order to increase female participation in Canadian politics?
The underrepresentation of women in public and private sectors is a global problem and not just unique to Canada. The percentage of women in politics here doubled in the last 25 years, but it is still around 20 to 30%. Multiculturalism and tolerance are the core values instilled in Canadian culture, and they deserve to be celebrated both inside the House as well as in the private sector. Achieving the gender parity in the new cabinet is a very big step, but the parliamentary gender gap is still very much alive. It's still very large. In order to increase political representation, both quantitatively and qualitatively, I think we could start by increasing women's presence in the labor force first and improve their access to employment opportunity. It is necessary to redesign careers in public administrative sector as well, and the workplace, and making adjustments such as making the workplace more suitable for childcare and more family friendly. This is a way to at least mitigate the second shift problem that most women are facing today. Implementing such policies will likely increase the share of household tasks within the family, and in return, it will give an opportunity to women to run or even hold an office. Seeking elections at any level of government is a lengthy and a very costly process. Adopting new legislative reforms and making financial campaign reforms might be necessary to at least level the playing field in order to overcome some of the structural barriers. In addition to that, outreach is also a big part of increasing accessibility of women to education and education those who belong to minority groups in particular. In addition to that, I would put emphasis on increasing cooperation with grassroots organizations in order to foster interest and participation in local politics. Providing funding for such non-governmental or quasi-governmental organizations which are empowering women by raising awareness, supporting their economic independence, working with political parties to increase the nomination of women candidates, and encouraging private funding for the NGOs by providing incentives would be some other policy alternatives.
In terms of providing opportunities for more women to be engaged in politics, there should be various initiatives that are made available to women to become involved in politics. This issue isn't only existent in Canada, as you mentioned, it's a global issue. Now, perhaps electing a prime minister that's female to represent Canada would be perhaps a future at some point. But oftentimes it's a process in government, in the public sector. Oftentimes the profession is dominated by men. And that's why I think there need to be these initiatives, as you mentioned, to get more women involved in becoming engaged in politics. And oftentimes it's useful to become affiliated with various organizations and associations that are focused on engaging women in politics. Having females mentor you, having individuals who are politicians, successful politicians, provide you with advice as to how you can become more engaged in politics is not only a useful way of becoming more immersed, but it's a useful way to get connected and to establish strong networks. Another issue that I wanted to touch on is the involvement of youth in politics. Oftentimes, there are a lot of opportunities made out there for students to become more involved in various global issues, various policy issues. But in terms of steps that politicians can take to get more students and more young professionals interested in politics is another area of focus. So the next question I wanted to focus on is, how can more politicians get youth interested in political involvement?
I actually wanted to add one more thing to my previous answer, which something I forgot to mention. For our listeners and readers who might be interested in getting more involved in increasing female participation in politics, they might check out Iku Voice. It's an organization which has chapters in universities all over Canada, and they are Ottawa-based.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Of course. And coming back to your question, I think at least some changes can be made to the middle school or high school curricula. I think one is to have more historical political novels on their reading list to arouse their curiosity, for example. That's at least how my interest in world politics was developed. The second one would be to make the world politics or civics or world issues course mandatory, but it's also equally important how this class is designed and structured to get students to think and have them form their own opinions on issues. And that would be through adopting an analytical framework within which students can learn to conceptualize historical and political events. A civics course would also increase awareness towards the process of political engagement and help them understand how important voting and other political participation methods are if you want to have a voice in your country. I think increasing students' international exposure is another key point. A politics or civics class is inseparable from a history class. So when the history curriculum is strictly focused on American or Canadian history and not so much in, let's say, the Mesopotamian one, for example, students will not gain insights into different cultures, thus will remain completely indifferent to centuries-long strifes and conflicts that are happening on the other side of the world.
That's something that oftentimes the curriculum needs to address, is educating today's youth about not just one area, but looking at all of the regions, educating today's youth about not just one political issue, for instance, but political issues that are happening internationally. Oftentimes, students will focus on politics or international affairs or international relations, or they'll look at one major issue of concern without analyzing or looking at other regions. And I think it's important to assess and to analyze critically the impact that international relations and politics, international politics, has on your own country. And in order for you to understand global affairs, or in order for you to understand how politics works, you should look at the impact of the relationship between countries. Understanding global affairs, understanding international relations and affairs, understanding politics requires you to have an understanding of how countries interact with one another.
Right.
Bushra, I want to sincerely thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, with your experience in international relations and affairs and global politics. You certainly provided our listeners with valuable advice about how more youth can become involved in politics and how women can make an impact in politics as well.
Thank you very much for having me again. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.